even standing up in some of your hymns when you don't usually. So thank you very much. It has been so great for us. I walked to church this morning in the snow. And it's always a marvel for us because in England, when it snows, everything stops. I once had to cancel church because nobody could get there. And it's great to watch the world carry on. Even doesn't matter how much snow there is, life carries on. This morning, I would like to speak to you about mission in the power of the Holy Spirit. And my title for you is that, and I want you to have three words in your mind. The call to be a watcher. The call to be a weeper. And the call to be a worker. I'm going to read to us from the end of Matthew chapter 9 and the beginning of Matthew chapter 10. And I'm going to read the whole passage and then hand over to you. Now Jesus traveled through all of the towns and the villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest, and ask him to send more workers into his field." Jesus called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and all illness. Here are the names of the 12 apostles: Simon, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, Thaddeus, Simon, and Judas Iscariot. And Jesus sent out the 12 apostles with these instructions: "Don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans, but go to only the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received." So first of all, about being a watcher, we are to watch Jesus, we are to watch the crowds, and we are to watch the field. Mission in the power of the Holy Spirit always begins with looking. And so first of all, we look to Jesus and we see that in the last few chapters, he has been involved in an incredible work of preaching and healing and doing signs and wonders. Verse 35 sums up the four chapters that precede it in this way. He travelled through the towns and the villages of the area, teaching and announcing the good news of the kingdom. He healed every kind of disease and every illness. This is what mission looked like to those 12 disciples. This is what they were watching. This is what they were trying to learn from. Mission was about speech and announcing the kingdom. It was also about society and healing the sick, and it was about the spirit too. So speech, society, and the spirit. And so that's our model of mission too. This is what it should look like. But then Jesus moves on and it says he looked up, he watched, and he saw the crowd. And he saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were distressed, they were helpless. And the second area for us as we think of mission is we need to look to the people. We need to look at the crowds and work out what is going on with them. The population of this town, the population of your schools, the population amongst your friends, these crowds. And he tells us three things about these sheep. First of all, that they were confused. Leave a sheep and a bunch of sheep along to themselves without a shepherd, and they don't know which way to go. And many people today are confused. They're lacking purpose and direction in their life. They're wandering around in circles. They're falling down cracks in the ice. Like I almost did today on the lake. That's what we're like, sheep without a shepherd. And many of these confusions come from not knowing how to answer the basic questions of life and the universe. There are four or five questions that if you answer them, you find out what somebody's entire worldview is. Who am I? Where did I come from? What has gone wrong with the world? Who and what is God like? How will it all end? Those big questions. The answers to those questions will tell you what somebody's view of the world is. But the reality is that most people's answers don't match. They don't really make sense when you answer them all together. So the sheep without a shepherd are confused. But the sheep without a shepherd can also have despair. So many young people are growing up with no big purpose in their life. and a kind of despair. A story was told of a journalist going to a town in Wales, a town called Bridgend. And she was sent up from her London office because the young people were all committing suicide. This is what she wrote. In the last year, Bridgend has had the suicides of 7 young people. Yesterday morning, everybody in the Aroma Cafe was poring over a newspaper. Reading the details of the latest tragedy. A 17-year-old girl, Natasha Randall, hanged herself in a bedroom a week ago today. Whilst her father and her stepmother were working downstairs. Her smiling face beams out of the pages and she makes a mock gangster symbol with her hands. Behind her in the picture, her friend Liam is making the same symbol. But Liam, age 20, is also dead. He hanged himself on Boxing Day. One girl said outside the college, "Suicide is just what people do here because there is nothing else to do." One teenager called Katie said, "It's become like a bit of an everyday thing." When the first one happened, I was shocked, but now it just seems normal, fashionable almost, I don't know. Maybe it's just the time of year. And the journalist writes, "How can this be? Why did so many of these young people feel so desperate that taking their own lives was the only option?" And it's not just amongst young people across Europe who have entertained ideas of despair. I grew up as a teenager asking some of those same questions as a 14-year-old too. I used to have discussions with my 14-year-old friends about avoiding suffering and bullying, and maybe death was a good option, a good way out. Without Christ in my life, I had no real answer and solution to these big questions of life, to these big questions of suffering. The artist Damien Hirst in High Culture asks some of those same questions too. He says, "Why do I want to live forever and yet I know I'm going to die? I want to live forever, but I know I'm going to die." I can't escape that fact, but I can't let go of that feeling. He said, "I am a modern mystic without God." People have a desire, but they don't believe that God exists. So rather than leaving them with something else bold and noble to live their life for, they live their life for nothing. Despair and lostness can eat away at the heart and eat away at the soul. And that's why Jesus looked out across the crowd and he said that they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were despairing. So it could be that they are confused. It could be that people are struggling with despair. Or it could be pleasure that makes them lost. There's a story told of a lady who is walking along the beach and she finds a bottle. She picks up the bottle and she rubs it and a genie comes out. It's obviously a true story. And the genie comes out of the bottle and he says, "Hello, my great mistress, I will grant you a wish." And she said, "I thought you're meant to give me 3 wishes." And he said, "Well, you know, it's the recession." So what will your one big wish be? And she thought long and she thought hard. And she said, "I know what my wish is going to be. What I want in the world more than anything is thin thighs." Now the genie is appalled. He is horrified. He said, "You could have stopped global poverty. You could have stopped wars. You could have found a cure for cancer or a cure for AIDS, and all you want is thin thighs. How selfish." Because you are so selfish, and I can't believe it, I will give you one more chance. I will ignore that question. You can ask one other. And she said, "You're absolutely right. It was a bit selfish, wasn't it?" So what I want in the world more than anything is thin thighs for everyone. So he looks at these people and he says that they are like animals. What does a sheep do? It wants to know where to get its food, it wants to know where to go to sleep, it wants to have sex, and it wants to have babies. And for some of us, living just for pleasure, living just for those things, it is living as less than a human. It is living like a sheep. Lots of people think they're sophisticated. They are bold. They're just living for themselves and for their pleasures, but they are living like a sheep. Now, what does Jesus do when he has done this watching? It says in the text that when Jesus sees that these are like sheep, people without a shepherd. He is moved. He's moved, deeply, deeply moved. In fact, the word in English is compassion, but it comes from a word in Greek called splankthisdomai. Which is about your entrails. Your guts, your stomach. So when Jesus looks out across the crowd, when he looks out across the population of this town, when he calls them a field ready for harvest, He doesn't just have a little thought, a little emotion. He feels a depth of feeling for the people, as if his very guts are crying out for their salvation. That's what it means. That he had compassion on them. And so the second step for us in spirit-led mission is to feel a depth of feeling for our friends and for our neighbors, like the depth of feeling Jesus has for them. At times, this is a love that can lead to tears. This is what the Holy Spirit does. Now, Jesus says that we are to then ask the Lord of the harvest. Ask the Lord, that's a prayer. We go from watching to a weeping prayer, an intercession. He has deep compassion, and then he says, what are you going to do about it? You've watched, you've seen the sheep, you've watched, you've seen these fields. Now, instead of looking out, look up. Ask the Lord of the harvest to do what? To send more workers into the harvest field. What he's telling them is, we think of our towns, our communities, particularly in Europe, as being hard places. As places that don't think they need God. Or where there's no real potential for the gospel to multiply like in Africa or China. When Jesus looks, he says, I see this town and I see a town ready for harvest. Your greatest need is for more workers. Because there's so much to be done. At harvest time, the 3 or 4 people who've been ploughing the ground and sowing at harvest, they need to call in all of their friends for the reaping. Now, the disciples had spent time with him, but they didn't see that. They couldn't see that. They could just see the difficulties. So this middle point, this point of prayer, is to weep and to pray, to ask the Lord of the harvest. To send out. Now that is the word we have for mission, to send somebody. And you can imagine the disciples saying, yes, that's what we need. We need more missionaries. Okay, I can pray for that. No problem. So they get down on their knees and they say, yes, Lord of the harvest, send more workers into our harvest field. But they have a shock. The shock is coming. Because the very next verse of the very next chapter, it says, and so he sent them. They were the answer to their own prayer. Lord, send missionaries, send missionaries, send missionaries. And God says, I will answer your prayers. I am sending you. Now there are 12 missionaries. There was just one. You see, the first 4 chapters have been about Jesus sharing the information of the kingdom and doing the works of the kingdom in the area and in the villages in the town. We've reached this point in the gospel story where the one becomes a 12. Later on, the 12 will become a 72. And then every single Christian is going to be a missionary. When God looks at the church, he says, I want them to all be a missionary people. Are you ready to be the answer to your own prayers? Not just you, but your friends and your family too. I look at this town and this city and I think there are plenty of people here to be doing the job. Now, Jesus is clear in this text. He sends them out. And the way that it is written in the Greek is almost like a rap song. You didn't think there was rap in the New Testament, did you? But what he says is, the way he says, those who are sick, you heal. The dead, you raise. The lepers, you cleanse. The demons, you chuck them out. Freely you've received. Freely now give. And it's written in these couplets as if they needed to memorize this. This was their theme tune. Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. There's a sick. You heal. There's a dead person. You raise them. We love God to give us solutions that do not involve us. We love the solution that somebody else is going to come and do the work for us. And Jesus says, I've got an army already and you are it. And this is your theme tune. Theme tune. So Jesus had a speech, an information to share. He announces the kingdom. And he has signs to perform. Healing the sick. Driving out darkness. Letting the blind see. And even the dead being raised. And then thirdly, he changes society. People relate differently because Christ is at the center. And so when he sends you and I, those three things still are in play. We are to announce the kingdom of God and to share the gospel. We are to pray for the sick and see the signs of the kingdom in our communities. And we are not going to take we no as an answer. Whatever our society says is normal, we're going to change it. Dead people normally stay dead. But on the resurrection day, Jesus changed that. He turned everything on its head. And Jesus is sending us out into our communities to turn the world on its head again. To send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit. It says that Jesus sent them out, commissioned them. to work this work. And so this is the watching, the weeping, and the working. And my prayer for you during the course of this week and also today is that you would see the situation. And if it distresses you in any way, if there's anything that burdens you about the church or your society or your community, that's progress. Because you're meant to turn it into prayer and compassion. And today I want to say to you gathered here, ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers into his harvest field. And be ready to be the answer to your own prayers. The Holy Spirit will, it says, throw you out into the world to do the speech, the signs, and the society changing of the kingdom of God. So we're going to be able to respond in prayer after the offering and the hymn. And we are longing to pray for you for this equipping from the Holy Spirit. We're longing for you to take your pain and to give it to God so it becomes the start of something new. All of us have unity under one great shepherd of the sheep. So let's ask him to do his work among us. Let's bow our heads to pray. Come, Holy Spirit, today we pray. Move among us and turn our watching into weeping. And our weeping into working. Let your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. And would you send us out in the power of your Spirit, so the world may know that there is a great shepherd of the sheep. And we pray that for this town and for this region and for the schools and our community. Lord, we want to say as an act of prayer today, enough is enough. Where there has been death, would you bring life? Where there has been despair, would you bring hope? Where there has been exhaustion, would you bring new energy? And where we have been discouraged, would you give us new strength? In Jesus' name we pray.